Hey, Suyosh, can you hear me?
Yes, Harsh, loud and clear.
Okay. I think I can't tell you how glad I am to finally be on a call with someone from my own company. And I didn't have to say, could we quickly jump on a Teams call?
Likewise.
I don't have to note down the minutes of this call, and I don't have to draft you an email afterwards.
Right.
All right. So, hey, Suyosh, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Harsh.
So, I think what we are doing right here might be helpful for a lot of people. And this is just me putting us on a pedestal so that if at the end of the day people think it's not worth it, they'll be convinced or they'll be gaslighted into thinking that, oh, you know what Harsh said, it will be helpful. So, it must have been helpful. But
Right.
actually, I've had a lot of my close friends or people who I know who have raised concerns around whether or not they should do MBA and what value exactly does MBA provide and stuff like that. So I think we can clarify a few of these doubts. But before we go ahead, if you could just give a brief introduction. So the minute you say I am Ahmedabad, they'll be like, oh, we should listen to him.
Right. Thanks a lot for inviting me to this podcast, Harsh. I am Suyash Agrawal. I am currently a product manager working with Microsoft. Before joining Microsoft, I completed like I was pursuing MBA from IIM Ahmedabad, and before my MBA, I was working with NVIDIA Graphics as a tools developer. So my journey has been very fruitful. I've learned a lot through my professional experience, and I hope that today's conversation also helps our listeners.
Yeah. So one great point that I'll start and address right away is there's this very false idea or false stereotype that people generally go for MBA when they either do not have a fulfilling job or when they, let's say, don't get placed after their primary degree or their bachelor's. And as we just learned, you were working with NVIDIA tools team, right? Which is, I think, which is a great place to be after your bachelor's. It's a very good company and it's a great profile to be in. So what actually, pushed you towards getting an MBA? What was the driving factor for you?
That's a very good question, and I'm sure that most of our listeners who would be in the same boat would definitely benefit from the answer. So let me first talk about my journey with NVIDIA. I spent 5.5 years with NVIDIA, and during my journey, I got a chance to work with a lot of cutting-edge technologies, and the products that I worked with were new and gave me a chance to learn a lot. Over the 5 years, apart from my work, I also led a lot of activities such as CSR local and CSR global that allowed me to use some of the other skills which I believed I had. Like, I really felt that I can manage some projects. So through these extra work, I was able to utilize those skills. So 5 years went by, I realized that I've learned a lot, but I was a bit, what do you say? I was restricted in a specific domain, right? I did not get a chance to move beyond it. I really thought that probably internally I can switch teams, or probably I can apply to different kind of roles to learn more. But I realized that there are some kind of more skills. Like, I really felt that I can manage people in a much better way. So I thought that why not I learn these skills first and then try to get into the role that I want to. That's where I thought that I should go for an MBA degree, which will allow me to learn about different domains such as marketing, finance, operation, etc. At the same time, which will also give me a pedestal to launch the second phase of my career. By the time I completed 5 years, I also knew that the next goal or the next role that I want to take up is that of a product manager. So I thought that I've gained considerable amount of experience in the industry, and this is the right time when I should take a plunge and change the gears. That's how I decided that I should do an MBA, and that was the primary reason.
So I think another great call out here is that you had spent 5 years in your company, and it's a common misconception, or it's a very difficult decision for most people to have that kind of experience and think about going back to completing their or pursuing higher education. The reason being, one is that and being in an Indian society, this comes in as a major concern where you have to fight the urge to say no to the monthly salary that comes in. And then on top of it, you have this additional expense of the tuition fees and whatnot. And it's a very and being when you're in a good place, it becomes a barrier of sorts because you are already in a good place. And while you can be somewhere better, you're afraid of what are the chances, like the odds that things don't play out well. For example, if let's say someone left their job in 2018 to pursue MBA, right? And by the time they were done, it was 2020 and there was a pandemic. Okay. And now I know pandemic is not something which is a foreseen circumstance, but then anything could happen and there's uncertainty. Let's say they do not get a job or they do not get placed in the right institution. There comes a degree of fear or that insecurity that comes in, right? So it's, but at the end of the day, I think if you're doing it from a reputed institution and if you like, you do need to have that certain faith or belief in yourself to go and pursue that line.
Right. Harsh, that's a very important question which you raised here. When you were asking me, I got nostalgic and went where I took this decision to pursue an MBA degree. You're absolutely right that people do face such a dilemma that whether they should do an MBA after working for so many years. At the same time, they would also have to lose the opportunity cost for the amount of time that they would be pursuing their degree. This is very natural. And over the past few years, when I spoke to a lot of my colleagues in my past company and my present company, I realized that most of the people want to pursue this degree, but because of reasons such as the ones that you mentioned, they are unable to move forward. What I believed during my time is that I would definitely, regardless of whether I get a job or not, I would definitely learn a lot. My drive was to get out of the shell that I was enmeshed in. My drive was that I would learn something more than the technologies that I was working with, right? So that drive is something which pushed me out and which gave me the force to move forward. I believe if someone is facing this dilemma, I would just suggest that just think about the learnings that you will have out of that program. It is absolutely right to say that you should pursue these kind of programs from reputed colleges or reputed schools. But at the same time, it is very important to understand that the biggest takeaway for any student to for from all these programs is the kind of learning they will have. Okay, so if that's the mindset which the student or the person moves ahead, I believe that would be really helpful.
True, because I just want to add another point from my personal experience. I've seen that getting into a particular role in a particular organization, if you have been working in, let's say, a different domain, it is very easy to switch domains. And I talked about this in my previous episode of my podcast, where I talk about the IT industry, the different roles that are there, the job qualification, the job responsibilities, and how to get out of that domain and switch to some other, because I think it's pretty easy. Right now, I am in a development domain, right? And I think you and I had a discussion, and it was a, it was stated at the very beginning that if I want, I can go ahead and switch into a domain that you are in. And I believe the domain that I am currently in was the same domain that you were in before you did your MBA. So, but at the same time, it's not just about the job, it's also about the learning that comes in. It's also about the head start you get in terms of knowledge and in terms of the organized behavior, the methodologies, the core fundamental concepts. It's very important and vital to have that. And until and unless you have that hunger, you understand the need of having that, it will all never seem right. You'll always be underconfident because you eventually you don't really know what you're looking for out of that particular course. I'll just take a step back over here because while we're talking about people who are in a particular domain going for this course. Let's just talk about someone who's starting out, as in who has no prior experience and who's torn apart between either having a job or going for the course, or let's say they don't have a job at all and they don't see anything. Because a lot of my friends and a lot of people who I've seen, they went for an MBA just because, there was no other path that they could go for, and this just looked right at the minute. So what do you say about that, and how does an MBA, like, where does MBA come into that picture? Where should MBA come in that picture?
That's a good question, Harsh. Before I answer your question, I just want to explicitly mention that everyone's experience is unique and accordingly their perspectives are fixed. So whatever I'm going to speak next is primarily based upon my own experience of how I experienced the journey and at the same time what I heard from others. So what I believe, if someone is in such a state where that person has to take a call whether that person should go for an MBA or not before experiencing the corporate world, I believe that person should definitely take a step back and think why MBA degree is needed at that time. See, let me try to relate this to my own experience. I took a decision to go for an MBA degree because I realized that I have learned a lot in my present work. At the same time, I won't be able to explore the hidden skills which I could have used in my work, right? Going forward, I won't be able to use them. At the same time, I also realized that there are specific kind of knowledge bases that I'm not aware of as of now. So all these things would come into the picture only when I go for a higher degree such as MBA. So that allowed me to take a decision, and that was definitely one of the best decisions which I made. So if someone is in the same boat where that person does not have any professional career experience, I would ask that person to first work with some company with whom in with work with that company where that person is really into, and then that person should take a call whether that person should go for an MBA or not. Before experiencing the work, I don't think so MBA would help, because MBA is simply a means to get somewhere, right? But until unless that means is defined properly, then we can't go there. So that is something which is needed here.
Absolutely. I think I complete it completely resonates with me, knowing the influence I have seen that an MBA degree holds. And it's just that, you are building on top of something else. And if you are just starting out scratch while you're learning a lot, you are obviously going for the managerial position first. If you're going for an MBA, it's likely that you are going to be in a position where you'll be assigned a few duties, and you'll be either leading a program or you'll be leading a set of people, or there's a vision that you will have to uphold and people will have to follow in most cases, right? So in that case, it's very important that you have that ground experience covered, because at the end of the day, if I look at any other folk that I have who is in a managerial role, the previous experience is never discarded. I've seen, be it a technical role, if we are talking about the industry that we are in, if it's a person who has done an MBA after his prior experience in an engineering field, it does come in very handy in making some decisions, because you're making more calculated and more informed decisions. You are having a vision which is very practical. You are taking into account all the technical difficulties and all the technical small technical blockers that might come into the picture, and you're very well prepared. So I don't think that knowledge ever goes to waste. But at the same time, it's I think it's like, but you can still pursue. But while if you do not have a choice, then MBA is such like a good option.
Right, absolutely. You touched upon all the right points, Harsh. What I believe here is, until unless you're not sure about where you want to go, you shouldn't even think about pursuing all these degrees. Until unless you know how you want to traverse that path, you shouldn't pursue all these degrees. So I completely agree with you that the past experience is something, which comes in handy, but at the same time, your past experience is something that will allow you to make such a decision.
Coming back, I see there are two more questions. Let me start with the first one. There are different types of MBA, right? There are different MBA specializations that are there. How to decide which one is the one for you if you are coming from an unrelated field? Because there are people, let's say, who are coming from, who are just doing a BA in a you know, specified domain, or let's say there are people who are just, who have just done a simple BCom and now they want to explore. So what helped you in deciding which specialization you wanted to go for? And if someone else wants to check this out or, you know, explore more into this area, is there a guide that you would want to specify?
Right. So when it comes to choosing the type of MBA, one should first try to consider factors such as the number of years of experience one has and the geography or the kind of schools one wants to pursue an MBA degree from. So these two factors were something which helped me take a decision and choose a specific MBA that I wanted to pursue. First is, based on my work experience, that is 5 years, I really thought that I should go for an executive MBA from mm-hmm. either Indian schools such as IIM Ahmedabad, Bangalore, Calcutta, or ISB, or from some of the schools outside India. Initially, my plan was to pursue the MBA from foreign schools such as NUS or NCR. But later on, because of some personal reasons, I decided that I will do the MBA from India. And that's how mm-hmm. I chose programs such as PGPX from IIM Ahmedabad, MBA, MBA EX from IIM Calcutta. Apart from the number of years of experience that helps one decide whether one should go for an executive MBA or for a two-year MBA such as PGP, the second reason is geography. You should be very clear whether you want to pursue an MBA from outside India or from India. Based on that, you will have to take a call as to which kind of exam you should appear for and what kind of preparation is needed to move that path. So in my case, after I decided that I want to pursue the MBA from India, obviously I had to consider the top choices, and that's how I chose the program that I pursued. So summarizing the answer, I believe the number of years of experience which one has and the geography are two most important factors which one should consider before taking a call as to which kind of program one wants to pursue.
Right. So that, with that being said, how, you know, let's say someone has finalized that they want to go for an MBA in India, and they want to go for, let's say, the a 2 year program that they have, or like 1 year full time MBA program that they have.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, and then there are multiple specializations as well in each MBA, right? How do mm-hmm. you research about that, and what are the factors that help you consider into this? Is it just going through the syllabus that's enough, or do you also look at the market demands and other factors?
Okay. So apart from the factors which I mentioned earlier, there are many other factors which really help in deciding which program to choose and a specific specialization to choose. First factor is obviously the brand name of the school. After mm-hmm. you will graduate from a specific school, that brand will definitely help you. It will help mm-hmm. you with networking. It will help you with in many other ways. The network which you develop in these schools is something that will help you throughout your life. And I've just graduated 8 to 10 months ago, and I'm seeing the positive effect of the network which I've developed. So I believe that's the biggest advantage. Apart from that, mm-hmm. Obviously, every school will have pros and cons. I don't believe in a philosophy where I would say one school is better than the other. So if someone is telling you that you should go for this school because it is the best school in India, then please try to move away from that thought process and figure out on the basis of the factors which we are discussing right now. So first is brand name. That will definitely affect mm-hmm. the networking. Second is obviously the course curriculum. You need mm-hmm. to deep dive into what will be taught to you during the curriculum time that you will spend in the college or the school. Whether that curriculum will help you learn all the things that you really wanted to before getting in the program. Please note that we are not talking about a job here. We are not talking about how you will get the next job which you always intended to get into. We are primarily talking about learning about all those domains that you always wanted to. So the curriculum is something which will help you ascertain the quality of the program, and it will help you understand whether you will learn everything that you intended to. So these are the two factors which we can add to the initial factors to determine whether the program is good for you or not.
Right. So that's, I think that precisely answers what I wanted to address. There is, and I see that you touched upon a subject about studying in India or studying abroad. And I'm not touching more into it because we have another episode here, which is studying abroad. And if someone wants to know more about it, you can just go ahead and check that episode out on my channel. But the next question that I really want to address here is, which is one of the most confusing questions. And there is a lot of ambiguity in the answers that are present. And I see so many answers coming from people with zero or negligible experience that the answers just keep losing credibility over here. The question being, when it comes to executive MBA or part-time MBA or online MBA, right? How do you, you know, make the choices there? And I'm not talking about full-time MBA here because being in the country that we are in, I think most people are very familiar with how full-time courses work. But executive MBA or part-time MBA or online MBA is something that people do not have a lot of faith in because they do not operate at the traditional way, or you know, they do not work in the most traditional way of the rest of our courses. Let's start with addressing online MBA first, because I think you and I share the same outlook on that.
Okay, so this is a very important point because this particularly concentrates on awareness. What I believe is people are not aware of these kind of programs. They don't know what the major differences are when we talk about these programs. See, when I said I wanted to pursue a one-year executive MBA course from India, and if I will share this with family, friends, or someone who knows a bit about this space, that person would say that I am doing a distant course, or I am doing a weekend course, or I am doing an online MBA. So basically, most of the schools nowadays are following a curriculum where people or students get a chance to pursue a residential course from the college. Okay, so when we specifically talk about online MBAs, you will not get that kind of experience. You will not get the experience of spending time in the college, learning directly from the professors. At the same time, the kind of connect you want to develop with your cohort is something that would be missing. So online MBA is something which is a bit similar to the massive open online courses which we see around, right? The MOOCs which we see around. So there won't be much of a difference, and the kind of value you want to get out of that program would be very less. So having said that, I believe online MBA is similar to the other kinds which we mentioned. If someone wants to really take this path, I would ask that person to sign up for a residential course.
Right. So another point that is very much talked about. Is the online MBA degree equivalent to any other MBA degree that you're getting? I mean, let's take all of the rest of the topics out of the matter, right? I get it. The learning part is there and all those things are there. But let's say at the end of the day, because for most people, this is what matters, right? Your resume is being handed over to a person. They are screening it. They look at it and they see online, they see an MBA that has been done in this particular mode of learning. Does that make a difference?
I believe it does not make any difference. If we consider a hypothetical scenario where someone uses the brand name of a school and let's say gets an advantage in the shortlisting process, right? But what happens in the consecutive rounds is primarily based upon the learning which you will have in the college. So there would be so many factors such as the kind of discussions you have your cohort, which won't happen in an online MBA, right? So these discussions are something which add value to your overall learning. And when we talk about online MBA, this is something which would be missing. So even if you mention these on your resume or CVs, you might get a very short-term advantage, but in the long run, it definitely does not matter. Everyone knows that at the end of the day, what matters is your learning and whether you are using the learning which you got out of that course. So I believe most of the online courses misses this factor.
Right, that makes sense. So, and let's get into the executive MBA, because I think most I've heard so many people say that executive MBA मत कर यार, ये executive MBA वगैरह कुछ value नहीं होता, because people genuinely believe, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, people think executive MBA is the online MBA. Okay, it's the
Right.
same as online MBA, because it's just that the 1 year thing comes in and the word executive comes in, so it is like this particular MBA appeals to executives who are still in the working industry, and they can do it alongside their job.
That's a good point. See, executive is just a term which is used for the program. Okay. So let's say I did MBA X, right? So that is Masters in Business Administration for executives. But the meaning of this term for the program is primarily an MBA degree for those people who have had some past experience in the industry. Okay. So this is unlike the regular executive programs where executives with 15 years or plus or 20 year plus of experience would come together and do a weekend course or do a course that happens for a limited period of time. So why people believe that executive MBAs are online MBAs? Because of the reason which I mentioned just now. And second reason is because these programs are a bit new. When we talk about the duration for which this program have been there in the industry, I believe these programs are a bit new. All these programs started in the early 2000s, and because of which there is a bit of a less awareness. So I believe awareness is something which is making people say that these executive programs are online MBAs. And with time, I'm sure that that gap is being filled. The more these programs are like the more these programs are staying in the industry, the more the more students are graduating from these programs, the better is the awareness happening for these programs. So I believe with time that will change. But just to clarify it, obviously these kind of programs are not online MBAs.
Right. And just to add this, the minimum amount of experience required for an executive MBA, I think it's 5, right? 5 years of experience is the
Four
minimum you need.
years for IIM Ahmedabad and 5 years for other colleges.
Right. So, Suresh, I also wanted to understand and ask you the theory between the kind of exams that you have to go for based on the course that you're pursuing. I know previously on the podcast you said that before going for anything, you have to finalize where you're doing your exam from. And what kind of course or program are you enrolling yourself for? But do exams that you give, let's say you're going for an MBA in India only, and you have these multiple options. You have a full-time MBA, you have online MBA. Depending on the kind of MBA you go for, does the exam differ? And if yes, then how does it work?
If you want to go for a 2 year full-time program, you will have to appear for CAT. If you want to go for a 1 year full-time program, you'll have to appear for GMAT. So GMAT is the exam that you need to give when you want to pursue a full-time 1 year executive MBA program from India.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a separate exams as well? Like, do universities conduct separate examinations for a special course that only their their institution is offering?
No, for 2 year programs, obviously some of the schools conduct their own exams, but for 1 year course, everyone accepts the GMAT score. And if you want to pursue the MBA degree from foreign business schools, then definitely you need to either give IELTS or TOEFL. That's an
Right.
addition to GMAT.
Yep.
Yeah.
So While we'll not jump or discuss more on the IELTS exams, we'll be talking a little about the comparison between GMAT and CAT exam in terms of difficulty, in terms of mode of preparation. And if you could just throw a little light on it, because I know you were also looking for doing your MBA from a foreign country, right? So maybe you could throw some light on that.
Okay, so do you mean to say that I should compare CAT and GMAT, or do you want
Yeah.
me to just throw some light on how to prepare for GMAT or go about it?
I think we'll jump on the preparation bit a little later. Let's look at the comparison first in terms of difficulty, in terms of the segmentation and those things.
Okay, so both CAT and GMAT are completely opposite when we talk about the exam structure and we talk about the preparation. During my time, when I had to take a call whether I want to do a 1 year MBA or a 2 year MBA, at the time I compared both the exams and I realized that GMAT is a computer adaptive test. Okay, so the difficulty level of the questions will primarily be based upon whether you attempted the previous question correctly or not. So the next question's difficulty level will be based upon whether your previous question was right or wrong. Whereas this does not happen with CAT. CAT is simply but and if I'm not wrong, CAT has negative marking, whereas GMAT does not have any negative marking. As far as the modules are concerned, I believe GMAT's quant is very easy, whereas verbal is very difficult. But if we compare those sections with the ones in CAT, I believe similarly CAT's quant is very tough, whereas verbal, as compared to GMAT's verbal, is a bit easier. So at the end of the day, obviously these things would matter completely upon the individual and his or her preparation. But having said that, if one is confident about cracking CAT's quants, I'm sure that person would be easily able to crack GMAT's quant. Whereas if one is preparing well for the GMAT verbal, that person should be fine with CAT's verbal. So that's how I can correlate both the exams.
With that being said, and I know that you were also going about your preparation while you were already working with NVIDIA. And I think kudos to you, by the way, first of all, for managing both of these simultaneously. But then how did you go about the preparation? There's no other sugar-coated way to ask this without making you look like the Sharma Ji's kid. But if you could make the mode of preparation a little generic.
Okay, makes sense. Before I answer this question, I just want to make one thing clear that before someone jumps into deciding whether one has to go for one kind of program or the other, obviously one has to decide whether one is comfortable with the exam that one wants to appear for to get there, right? So in this case also, I would say exactly the same thing. One should clearly understand what the exam is about, what the exam is testing you on, what the structure of the exam is. So if I want to list certain points as to how the preparation should start, I believe the first point in any kind of preparation would be to understand the exam in and out. The overall timing of the exam, the structure of the exam, the pattern of questions asked, the kind of content which repeats. So all these things are very important to understand before one decides to start preparing for that particular exam. Be it GMAT, be it CAT, or any other exam, before you know on what basis you are being judged on and what factors help you score high in that exam, you won't be able to make it there. So it is very important to understand the exam in and out. So that is the first step. Second step is to figure out what the right resources are that will help you ace that exam. Just like for CAT, you have websites such as PagalGai. For GMAT, you have one go-to website which is called as GMAT Club. So on GMAT Club, you can find everything about GMAT, be it the exam structure, be it the past question and answers, test series, meeting with consultants, everything. So if you want to know anything about GMAT, GMAT Club is the go-to website. So that is the second point. You need to know which resources to access if you want to know more about the exam and prepare for it. Third is you need to know where you stand as of now and where you want to go. So let me share my personal experience here. After I came to know about the exam structure, the total score, and the dependency of the score, I figured out that to get into the schools of my choice, I need to score at least 700 plus out of 800. Okay. So that was my initial target score. And I realized early on that one has to first identify where one is at that point in time. And then that person would have to map the current position with the target position. And that's what I did. I first took the free mocks, which are available on MBA.com site. Those mocks helped me understand where I was. And that's how I tried to map my current level to the target level that I wanted to achieve. So third point is one need to understand the current position and accordingly map the current position to the target position. So after taking the mock, if one is getting an average score of, let's say, 600 or 650, and if the target score of that person is 750, then one knows that one has to prepare for XYZ amount of time to move from 650 to 750. So that's the third step. So let me first summarize the first three steps. First is obviously understanding the exam in and out. Second is identifying the right resources to ace that exam. And third is identifying the current level where you are when it comes to preparing for the exam. So after I completed these three processes, I had to concentrate on the fourth point, that is the amount of time needed to crack that exam. Since GMAT is primarily given by industry professionals who have spent some time in the industry, so it is given that they will have to prepare for this exam alongside their work. I was definitely in the same ship. I had to decide how would I be able to move to my target score from my current score. I realized that it would take me around 3 to 4 months to prepare for the exam, to give the mock test, and then appear for the exam. And that's what I did. I identified that it will take me 3 to 4 months to get there. And accordingly, I chose my exam date. So this is the fourth point where you need to identify the amount of time you would require to move from your current level to your target level. So these are the four steps which one can take to start their journey apart from preparation. So if I move to the preparation stage, obviously the preparation will change from one person to another, be it the calendar preparation or be it the resource preparation. So I don't know whether you would want me to touch that particular point or not.
No, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Okay. So if I talk about preparation, one will come across a lot of resources on GMAT Club. There would be many online platforms that would help candidates prepare the sections such as quants and verbal, as well as other sections such as AWA and integrated reasoning. One needs to understand that all these platforms which are there are competitive and would definitely help one improve their current level. But what matters at the end of day is the simplicity of these platforms. So if you come across a platform such as eGMAT, which will help you prepare for sections such as cons and verbal, you need to understand whether the way with which the topics or the concepts are taught on the platform are simple to understand and whether they will help you quickly get there. So I took exactly the same path. I skimmed through different platforms and understood that eGMAT is something which would help me get there. And I chose eGMAT, prepared for verbal from there, and practiced their mocks, which I got from their platform. So that is the practice material I used. I forgot to state one thing earlier, that one also needs to check MBA.com from where I got the free mock test, right? So on MBA.com, you would come across resources such as official guide. So official guide is something which one should have if they want to know more about the exam. At the same time, if they want to prepare for the sections which are part of this exam. So I think so. That's it. I've covered everything.
Yeah, I think that's very well summarized. So Yash, and I love the fact that you have, you know, structured your answer. Just for the listeners, I want you to know that you don't have to pause at every timestamp and note these resources down. I'll be adding all these resources in the description of my YouTube video, and you can access it from there. So With all that being said, Suyash, I think I have this another question in mind. For someone who is graduating fresh out of the college, what are the MBA program options that are available for them?
Okay, if someone is graduating fresh out of college, the 1 year MBAs are out of the question because they have a prerequisite of 4 years or 5 years. So if we are talking about India, they will definitely have to go for 2 year MBA programs from elite business schools such as IIM Ahmedabad, Bangalore, Calcutta, or some other business schools such as XLRI or IIFT. Right. So if someone is fresh out of college and if they really want to pursue this path, then they will have to appear for CAT and they will have to get into one of these elite colleges.
Yeah. So I think that settles it. So Yash, do you have any closing thoughts, or is there a question that you get asked a lot that you'd want to bring up?
Right. One question which I come across very often is which school is better? Is IIM Ahmedabad better than IIM Bangalore or vice versa? Is ISB better than IIM Ahmedabad? This question was asked in the past. This question is being asked and this question will be asked in the future. What I want to tell to the listeners is that not every person who is answering this question has gone through all these programs at the same time or in at the same time, right? So not everyone knows what these programs are, right? So I would ask my listeners to identify and map their requirements to the program. At the same time, learn more about these programs. Every school will offer something different, and every school will have their own benefits and disadvantages. So there isn't any rule that Ahmedabad is better than Bangalore or vice versa. Every school is good. What matters is whether you are able to thrive there and whether you are able to make the most of the facilities which they provide to these students. I also, if one is clear that the curriculum is something which matches the learning needs of a student, then definitely one should move forward. So this is something which is asked to me very often, and I believe just don't listen to all those folks. Just focus on what how you will benefit from the program and whether you can make the most of that program or not.
I think a very important part here is the question itself, right? Which school is better? Let's say someone comes up and says, if let's say someone comes up and asks if IIM Hyderabad is better than IIM Bangalore. I think the question, the main part, or the identifying word of this particular question is better. What does someone mean by better, right? For example, for me, a college could be better, let's say, if they are offering better placement options, right? But doesn't mean that college has necessarily has good faculty or better infrastructure or other options that I'm looking for. You can get a great job out of, let's say, the worst college. I work at Microsoft and I studied in a college that had literally no options. I was among two people who got selected at Microsoft. You can't judge my college based on the job that I'm in, right? It really depends on what is it that you're looking out of that program. At the end of the day, if you're skilled enough, if you are, and I know that this looks like someone speaking out of privilege, but it's the ground reality that if you have the skills, if you have the learning, if you have the enthusiasm and passion, things fall your way.
Absolutely, Harsh. I agree with you. At the end of the day, everything depends upon an individual. If that person really wants to make it, that person would make it through any kind of school, be it elite schools or any other school. See, you will get resources in every school. It completely depends on you whether you are able to use those resources in a right manner or not.
Absolutely,
Right?
absolutely.
So that's the point.
So thank you, Suyash, for agreeing to take time out for this. And to the listeners, I hope you enjoyed, and I hope you learned something out of this, or it answered the questions that you had in your mind. In the next episode, we are going to be talking about how to land a job, how to crack an interview, and the other things that follow alongside this, how to build a good resume, what to write in the resume. So stay tuned.
Also, if you need more guidance and help based on where you are in your career and what you want to go for, or if you need feedback or advice on what you should do next, you can book a consultation call with Suyesh. I have put a link in the description, and go ahead and book your slot right now. So, until next episode, see you later. Bye bye. I mean, talk to you later. Bye.
Hold up.